Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right. Hello and welcome to another special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. This is Atlanta's most trusted advisors. I am Ryan Red Hawk McPherson, and alongside me is Bonnie Buell Russick.
Hi, Ryan. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Been a couple of weeks, I think, since we saw each other.
Yeah, I think it's actually been about three or four.
Yeah. So you've been traveling and doing some more traveling, I hear.
I have. I had an awesome, much-needed vacation in Aruba that I can't even tell you how fantastic that was. I've decided I'm just going to sell everything and go down and be the towel girl.
Okay.
You know, I'll just be the one that hands towels out. Not a bad life to live, right?
So Aruba's nice. I've never been there.
Oh, it's amazing. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, maybe I need to go check that out for sure.
You do.
Good. And so we got another episode of Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors. Like I said, let's remind our listeners first to connect with us on social media. You can follow the network Business Radio X on Twitter at Business Radio X. And you can follow Bonnie and BBR Marketing on Twitter, BBR Marketing, across just about every social media platform. And in studio today, we have two great guests who are going to talk to us a little bit about managing technology and related risks in today's changing landscape. We have Jerry Jones and Kelvin Moy. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Great. Thank you. How are you doing?
All right. We're doing fine here. So let's start with you, Kelvin. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Sure. I'm originally from New York.
New York City?
New York City. Oh, born and raised. Actually born in Brooklyn.
Okay.
I've been in the computer industry or IT industry for about 16 years now. Gone all the way from IT consulting help desk all the way to director of ITs for companies. It's allowed me to kind of see every facet of the IT industry and allow me to bring that experience out to the companies that we work with.
And you're with the company now, Add Information Technology, or Add It, or Add IT.
That is correct.
Okay. And within that, you have another kind of development program called Baseology, and that's what Jerry Jones is doing over there, right?
Correct.
And so tell us a little about yourself, Jerry.
Yeah, I grew up in public accounting.
With a
large national firm. I helped do a lot of their IT audit, audit automation, and other services across the firm. We started at it about 4.5 years ago, along with Baseology, to really solve business issues leveraging technology. Mm-hmm. Because of our background in compliance, we really leverage the compliance side and our understanding of business and business process to effectively mitigate and solve issues and gaps where businesses are just troubled. They're having a hard time seeking a correct solution, and they've struggled with that, either doing it internally or seeking external help.
Yeah, IT technology is changing day to day, week to week, every year. How do you stay up to date with it all? And Bonnie, as a business owner, you know, how do you know if you're doing the right thing or not missing something along the way?
It is so very challenging to keep up with. Even things, I can tell you this week, trying to make a decision, we had to get a new computer for one of our employees. And do you go Microsoft 365? Go some other option, and you know, you're pretty much being forced to do a lot of cloud sort of software now, and that's just one tiny itty bitty piece of the whole thing.
Yeah, correct. And how does it play well with all the existing infrastructure you have?
Yes, and keeping everything up to date and all that sort of thing. I mean, I know one of the things we're going to talk about today a little bit is outsourced IT. You know, certainly for small businesses like mine, we're six people and in various locations, you know, it makes all the sense in the world. But let's talk a little bit about that. You know, how do small business owners or those that are managing, you know, the operations and IT of a company, you know whether to go the outsourced route, whether to have a hybrid model or have everything inside? How do you help them through that process?
Yeah, I would say that first you define the process and what the business does and what the needs are, and that helps drive. I think also finding a good stakeholder, whether internally or seeking professional help, to have someone kind of provide the voice of IT and the function of IT to kind of help you make those decisions. And at the end of the day, it's aligning your requirements. What does your business do? What do you need with the technology that's available? It's never, hey, we're just going to pick one technology and go with it. So Office 365, we're going with Microsoft. That's a great solution, but are there alternatives out there? And then a sustainable process of maybe periodically do we reevaluate that every couple of years just to see what's out there and if there's other technologies we could leverage?
And, you know, the key stakeholder, as Jerry was talking about, it's important that they truly understand your business and, you know, the hardships that you're going through. And that's something that a lot of times when you go to an outsourced company, they don't necessarily spend time to figure that out for your company. You know, they're selling a product and it's probably an excellent product and it will solve solutions. But, you know, every company is different. The dynamic is different. Even the culture is different inside. So having that ability to really dissect the organization and then be able to talk business and talk tech, right? It's two distinct languages, I think, is kind of where you know, you run into a lot of issues, or at least we see with technology people. You know, you hear it all the time in businesses. Decision makers go, I don't know if the tech person gets me. I don't think they understand what's going on. And the technology people tend to look at the decision makers and go, this is so simple. I don't understand why they don't get what I'm trying to say and why I need to do the things that I need to do. And so that model, that individual, that stakeholder, that's a really key trait, I think.
And learning a little bit about what each other does, not necessarily trying to be the CEO who manages all the IT or the IT necessarily knowing every single thing about the company, but having those two people kind of try to understand each other and come up with a solution together. Because it sounds like if your company's under 10 people, then you need XYZ solution. There's none of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not quite as black and white, you know, with that. There's a lot of gray and understanding, again, what the business is trying to accomplish and also how the people like to work. You know, it's a common, I have a philosophy that I like to use or when I approach things where technology is here to make everybody's lives easier. And so to do that, we have to understand and wrap the technology around your business process and the way that you work, as opposed to saying, well, this is the platform and this is the technology. Now we need to take what works for you as a business and plug it into this technology and change the way you work. Right. And a lot of times that is a short-lived solution because ultimately you're going to get pushback from users, from all people throughout the organization that say, I can't do my job that you hired me to do because you want me to do it in this way that's counterintuitive for me. And, you know, the answer to say that technology isn't helping me, then it's actually hindering me from being able to do the work.
I think also it's not point in time. It's ongoing. So again, you know, as you're working with technologies, you know, there's going to be frustration. When some of these technologies came out, you know, 5-10 years ago, you know, they're not always up and running. They're not always available. Sometimes you might get a delay in your emails or the files might not be available when you need them to be available. So I think it's just understanding that technology improves over time and it's this ongoing process. As your business grows, as you change, as you, you know, reinvent yourself, as you pivot, you know, you might leverage different technologies.
And just because the technology is out there doesn't mean your business needs to adopt that if it's
That's
not
correct.
A right fit for your business.
That's correct.
What would be a pain point a business is experiencing right now on a basic level that, you know, would spur them to say, you know what, I need to pick up the phone and call you guys?
You know, I think when you, we have this idea of constantly reviewing your IT internally as well as externally. So the internal one is more of that pulse. It's to sit there and say, well, are we having problems that are constant, that are IT related? And do we feel that our IT organization within our company understands us? And
like lag times on the IT side or communication problem? What are some common problems in that IT field?
Sure. You know, I think that what we see a lot is downtime. So people will say IT does a great job when there's a problem, but we're having so many outages that we're constantly reaching out to IT and having them fix it. So they're doing a great job fixing it, but
it's not running continuously as it should.
Yeah, we'd like to have a more well-oiled machine running where, yes, we know that it's never going to be 100%. There's always going to be problems, but they should be few and far in between.
Right.
And you know, that's usually when it's a sign that there could be something within the IT organization that's just not jiving well. And there also could be that the solutions maybe aren't right.
So there's preventative maintenance you should be doing as well, just as well as trying to fix certain problems that may be occurring.
Exactly.
And then as the technology advances, then new systems come out or new technologies come around. And then, you know, like I said, some businesses want to adopt that right away because it's brand new, but it's not always the best fit. So just because your it kind of speaks to your industry or your needs for your IT.
Yeah, I've always had this philosophy. People, I get this question a lot. The cloud. Should we go there?
Right.
Right. We should go there, right?
Yeah, we should.
And you know, I think that at a very high level, that satellite view 5 miles up is to answer, well, yes, that is clearly where technology is going. But as Jerry has said also too, technology changes, it gets better. You know, the first iteration of anything, usually as great as it is, when we look back on it, we go, wow, that was pretty archaic.
Yeah, right.
And we had some problems with it. And so my answer to a lot of times is to say, well, you need to go to the cloud where it makes sense. And I think that's that little caveat that sometimes solutions providers overlook. Mm-hmm. You have to look at, again, what you're trying to accomplish, what the current cloud or technology, anything for that matter, really, but what that new technology is at in its maturity, and then to say, does it meet your needs for that task? And if it doesn't, then it's not ready now. Let's shelf that off to the side. Let's put that, and then we'll reevaluate that in some form of regular schedule or cycle that allows us then to revalue and say, okay, using the cloud as example, has the cloud progressed far enough now in this area that now it makes sense? Let's go ahead and adopt it.
Right.
And some business drivers for that would be, what kind of information are you dealing with? Where Bonnie, she's getting a lot of emails, doing a lot of marketing. It may not be as mission critical as if I'm handling like medical records, or I'm handling a call system where it's a help desk for folks that are calling in constantly to receive help. Mm-hmm. And so it really, I would say that, again, going back to the requirements, a big driver in how you would select these systems. It's nothing. I think the other option you have is you can test in parallel, meaning you can run your existing process, but then try this on the side to see if it's causing more issues or enhancing what you're doing. So it's not
either
a lot of times. Yeah. Right. A lot of times you can kind of ease into some of the technologies. It's the difference between kind of being on the cutting edge and the bleeding edge. And a lot of companies will stay away, from the bleeding edge, mm-hmm. because they know there's just a lot of overhead involved and there's a lot of unknown unknowns.
I think most people want to let somebody else do the initial testing, and then they'll take advantage of that. Once you're at the second round, you never want to buy the car the very first time it comes out. Let's work out some of the kinks so
very
you don't
true.
Have to.
And we're talking with Jerry Jones and Kelvin Moy from AdIT and Baseology. They're talking to us about the infrastructure and solutions your company may need for IT and managing those risks right now. Where do you guys go to stay up to date on the latest and greatest trends? Or what do you do to, are you reading books at night on this stuff, reading magazines, or hanging out in forums online? Where do you go to stay up to date?
I would say first and foremost, because of the Baseology side, we live operations every day. So we develop business applications that we host. We leverage Rackspace, which has been a great partner in our hosting of applications. So every day we have users connecting from around the world into our applications, and those have to be available, all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's managing that environment, which also helps us kind of understand the most recent technology. So it kind of forces us into the day-to-day operations.
And you're living in the new frontier of technology in that
right.
sector right there.
Correct.
And as something new comes up, you learn about it, and you can probably are developing new technologies yourself, as you said.
Correct. And there's so many new startups and technologies out there now, it's hard to determine, what is the best path for me. So that I think this is where Kelvin would say, it's this, just like CPAs or attorneys, you have this continuing professional education. You have user groups, you have conferences, you're going to be involved in a lot of these different organizations just to stay current. If you're a Microsoft partner, you're going to be tied in with Microsoft and things that are coming out from Microsoft. And so these are key areas to kind of be involved with.
That makes sense. And Kelvin, how are you out there actively getting new business? So are you marketing heavily in some of these trade shows and conferences, or are you doing such good work that clients are referring you all over?
Well, I'd like to think the latter, that we're doing really good work and clients are referring us. you know, through the Baseology and some of our other client base where we do SOC audits and things, there's this natural organic things that float to the top as we mm-hmm. begin to look at it. So that's really kind of where we go. The sailing side is not really on my forte also, too. Mm. I would say that Jerry and his business partner, Matisse, who wasn't able to join us, who's outselling, obviously, right now, really spearheads a lot of that growth and driving for us.
And I'd also have to look across the table and thank Bonnie. she was there at the beginning and helped us with some of our marketing and setting up you know, our logos and things like that. So she's been a great help through the years. Mm. We also try to work with CPA firms a lot where maybe they don't have the technology, the technical expertise. We provide that for them. So that's been a great avenue at reaching out to new customers, new clients, telling them what we do, and then also working and leveraging those relationships. So I would say, you know, after having ownership in two small businesses, you know, you never realize how important like a small or mid-sized business is until you actually have ownership in one, and how beneficial it can be, those, you know, relationships that you have with other companies.
Well, and do you find that you guys, because of the forensic accounting and audit background that you have, that you're kind of differentiated a little bit from your average outsourced IT company?
Yeah, I would say for sure. You know, as Kelvin and I, we may go out and evaluate an IT environment for a company. We bring a team-based approach. So we might bring someone from our development team. We might bring Kelvin on site. I might go on site. So we're bringing all the different components of understanding a business process. You know, what is the monthly close process? You know, how does inventory work? You know, how do all these components work? Plus the compliance aspects, right? What type of data are you dealing with? You know, how do we classify that data? Is it, you know, how important is it? How do we need to secure it? And then lastly, on the operations side, Kelvin brings to the table this great background of keeping the lights on. And so that really helps. And it's key to keep the lights on. We worked with a client recently and I'll let Kelvin kind of talk to this, implemented basically DAS, which is a virtual workstation environment. And that's been a great initiative for them, where it's allowed them to really embrace the cloud and you know, all those terms that we might hear related to that. And, you know, really have very little on-premise. We see that happening a lot, where clients are really saying, hey, the office is more like a coffee shop and I don't really want anything on site. You know, either I'm going to leverage a data center or some other service to get it off site.
Well, and to add to that, I think that we're seeing a lot of businesses when they're looking at trying to attract new and good talent. The talent pool isn't your conventional IBM. I'm going to use them as the, you know, as the example, Big Blue, right? That IBM view where everybody got dressed up in the same suit, went into the office, punched in their 9 to 5, and then left. You know, the talented workforce nowadays doesn't want to work that way. They want to have this work-life balance. They, you know, are more objective and goal-oriented. So if I have a task, let me get it done. If it takes me 5 hours to get it done, or if it takes me 8 hours to get it done, let me just let it get it done. And so this client that Jerry was talking about, you know, along with some of the security and compliance issues that the cloud brings and the solution that we tried to help them come to, or that we helped them come to, you know, that was the other part. It was trying to attract that talent to bring it in and give them that flexibility, but also keep everything secure in what they do.
Yeah. And for an example, one of the big benefits is when they log into this tool, they can log in from anywhere. They've already tried it from, I think, Spain or Europe.
Yep.
And so it works across the globe. And the neat thing is when they lock their machine and they log on at another, whether it's even their machine or someone else's machine, their environment's isolated. So they don't have to worry about, you know, going to the coffee shop and leveraging another machine. And then also it pulls up where they left off. So it's really neat. They get the same working environment no matter where they go. And it's compatible with different devices. So your MacBook, your Apple, your Windows, your Android, it works in all those environments.
Well, and to speak back a little bit to kind of what Jerry was talking about, and also the original question of you know, how our approach might be a little different. You know, you hear this a lot from service providers. We're vendor agnostic, but you still have vendors and you're still selling something at the end of the day. And, you know, for us, unless Jerry and Matisa haven't told me, we don't actually sell a physical item. You know, we're not selling a VMware or Microsoft or a Mac or Apple. You know, our approach is to come in and really just say technology is a toolbox. It's a series of tools. What tool is going to fix your problem? Because every tool is a little different, and we need to find that fix for you. And then once we give the solution to you, it's not, oh, and we sell that too. So here, let me sell you this piece. It's a little bit more objective, and that objectivity that comes out into it. And so I think that's another little unique approach that we have with what we do. And it's a strong believer what we have in what we do as well too, is, you know, we really don't want to sell the hardware. Somebody else can do that. That's their business. They can kind of handle that part of it. We just want to find that solution for you. I find that at least the exciting part of you know, what we do in the business area is it's that problem solving piece. It's to look at it, it's to understand your business and to say, okay, you know what? Taking these various technologies, we can get them to all work together and then give you that solution that's going to really propel your business into that next level.
I was going to say, from a vendor perspective, you know, what should, let's say you leverage an IT provider, you know, what should they be doing or providing to you? And that's another important point. You want to be left in a place where, Bonnie, if you leverage someone currently, let's say you wanted to pick another provider, they weren't available anymore. They, you know, decide that they don't want to provide those services. You want to be left whole where, you know, everything that you have in your environment's documented, it's transferable. So things that they've done to set up your environment, maintain your environment, and this goes a little bit back to really policies and procedures. It's kind of a dirty word, I feel like sometimes, but it doesn't have to be monumental. I mean, these can be quick and, you know, easy things to put together to really document not only the configurations and the settings and how everything is set up, but the process, you know, how is business operating? And how does IT kind of follow that?
So what would you say, you know, as a small business owner who, you know, is working with an outsourced IT company or even considering it, what are some of those things that they absolutely need to make sure that the questions that they ask or things that they make sure that they have the information on? You know, I'm thinking of things like we build websites. We've worked with clients before that don't know where their site is hosted, don't have login information for their own site, and can't go in and make changes. To me, that's kind of appalling and pretty basic. You know, what would be the, you know, flip side of that on the IT side of things?
I like to use a coined word that Jerry has. It's called the implementation journal. You know, we use that in all of our projects, and it documents step by step everything that we did. All the way down to nitty gritty technical data where arguably anybody that's technically competent can take up this document and can go ahead and redo or at least troubleshoot what it is that we did. There's nothing hidden inside of it. So, you know, there's no secret sauce. Like, we don't want to hold on to that. And I don't think that any vendor or small business should work with companies that try to hold that information hostage, for lack of a better term. And so you want to make sure that you're getting that. And as part of the fees or part of the project, it's that at the end of it, I get everything that was done with detailed information, and it can get filed away to what I do. You know, I kind of relate that to commercial construction. I had some experience with offices being built out just in general. And at the end of the project, a big commercial project like that, they give you this huge 3-inch ring binder that has every stitch of information that went into the build out of your office space. Well, with technology, it should be the same way. You should get it may not be a 3-inch thick binder, hopefully, you know, you should be getting that detailed information, the listing of vendors, usernames, expirations, contracts, and how it was done. You know, they don't need to give you a detailed step by step where they can recreate it, but all the base information should at least be there.
I think a key part also is an SLA or a service level agreement as well to really define, you know, what they're going to provide, what they expect from you. You know, anything done in the technology arena is just not IT pushing the buttons and everything is good. There's a lot of business inputs. There's a lot of business area inputs where, you know, the business side is really the driver. If you want to add someone to your systems, well, it should follow a request process and that should be approved. If they get a call from someone randomly and they're like, hey, Bonnie wants to add this person to as admin to all of our systems, you know, what's their responsibility? Those things need to be defined up front, you know, so that you just don't have random people being added. I think some things that folks also forget about are like the end of life. You know, what happens when, again, when we wrap up, you know, are there, you know, liability issues here? Is there proprietary information? Where is that? You know, is there, you know, how is data returned, you know, back to the client at the end of life? So I think those are also key parts of the assessment process when you're working with a vendor and determining if you're going to actually leverage their services.
Yeah, I think it's important to, when you're looking as a business, to consult IT consulting services, to find someone that can partner with you in the beginning stages of your business, help you grow as well, help you stay up to date on the technology. And if for whatever reason you ever have to leave, I think it's a partnership that you want to keep a client around once they begin to engage your services.
Correct.
But if you do have to leave for whatever reason, then you, all that information, all that documentation is transferable, and then the next company can come along and help. And that's just doing good business to service your client, I would imagine.
Yeah, from my side of it, I want to maintain the client because of a good relationship and that we bring value to the client, not because I'm holding the keys to the kingdom.
Right. But there are some unscrupulous businesses out there, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And so as a business owner, these are things you should be aware of when you're engaging IT consulting services.
Absolutely. One thing that I was thinking, wanted to see what you guys thought about is the trend of BYOD, bring your own device, and having that, you know, it used to be that all the equipment, all the machines and everything were owned by the business. And, you know, there wasn't so much laptop taken home, working from home, flexibility sort of thing. Now those lines are blurred a lot. And I guess I would like to, you know, do you see this as a trend that is growing? And what are some of the, you know, hiccups that can occur because of the fact that there's, you know, it's machines that are being used for multiple purposes.
I'll let Kelvin kind of talk to some of the hiccups, but one of the things you definitely need in place, and again, this is consulting with your attorney or the litigation side, is to say, hey, you know, who owns this data? Mm-hmm. When I put something on a device, who owns it? You know, do I own all of the data? Do I own some of it? If the employee leaves, how do I get the data back? And so I think these are important first steps to deciding that and whether you're going to let them, you know, leverage your kind of environment outside of something that you maybe have complete control over. This also gets back to the example that we were providing where our client can use their devices and use this software to get their desktop anywhere, regardless of device, and it's isolated. So even if the security on the device is not strong or well built, it makes that isolated so it's not as much of a concern or consideration. And Kelvin, I guess some of the what could go wrongs and some of the considerations here right. are immense.
I think that could be an entire show all on its own on kind of what that is. It's definitely a trend. Clearly that companies are looking at. I think that they're looking at a way to empower their users. And also, I think they're looking at their bottom line as well, too. So that, you know, there's some less capital expenditures that they need to do. You know, the hiccups, I think the biggest one with BYOD is about the data and the liability, as Jerry talked about. And to say, what is the organization responsible for? How far are we responsible in order to safeguard what's considered reasonable? I'm on the radio, I'm doing air quotes, that doesn't work. you know, what is considered reasonable and also your risk appetite for, as the company, you know, how important is your reputation for the data leak that's there? You know, a manufacturing company may have less emphasis not to say that it's not important to them, over a medical company, for mm-hmm. example, right? Mm-hmm. So that trust in the customer and that level of risk has to be evaluated. And then it comes down to the other part of it with BYOD. You're introducing a lot of different technologies that everybody doesn't want to play with each other because they want to be the predominant in that area, that tech area. And so you start running into trying to now make all of the items manageable to manage your risk as well as work for what you want to do. And then you're not creating more time trying to support these devices than the benefits of that it's yielding by allowing them to bring the devices in. Mm-hmm. So I think those are some of the big key points. And you know, usually a lot of that revolves to fix that revolves around mobile device management suites or software packages or combinations of that.
I would think too that there have to be, you know, rules and instructions and procedures in place that you share with the employee that you're working with so that they know what they can and can't do. You know, I remember working at an accounting firm years ago and they blocked Facebook or any of that sort of thing. I think those days are gone at this point and people are constantly multitasking and, you know, I need a brain break. I'm going to go see what my friends are saying on Twitter or whatever. But, you know, I would imagine there has to be some sort of rules in place that, you know, make it so that your data is not at risk or nearly as much risk.
Well, and I think something that might be overlooked by a lot of businesses when they think about BYODs, they're thinking about the ease of it, the savings, this is going to be a great thing, not realizing the amount of formalized policies, structure, and risk mitigation that has to be done from the business's side. Because it moves the responsibility of the hardware, let's say, and the access to the individual, but that increases the responsibility on the business's side in the terms of managing the devices and also the risk of what happens when that data goes away or if it gets out.
Yeah, I would say you're exactly right. The policies and procedures are key. Training is key. I think we forget a lot of times that you know, this periodic, usually annual training that we do with the employees is really key. You know, I see a bunch of USB drives on a table. I pick one up. I insert it into my computer. Who knows what it's going to do, right? So it's these kind of things. And I think also classifying the data. If it's really sensitive data, you know, it's your key formula, right? It's it's the, you know, Coke formula. You know, these are things you're going to protect and you're really going to think about who has access mm-hmm. and where they can access it. I think we've seen all too often that people install file sharing services, so beyond just the mobile device, but file sharing, and they don't really realize, you know, that there's a lot of thought that needs to go into how these things are set up, certain restrictions that you can put in place, like maybe IP address restrictions. So Bonnie, maybe you're leveraging a service and you just want folks from your company when they're on site connecting to this, right? Not when they're coming in from another location. We've seen a lot of what could go wrong is where companies give too much access and employees not only have all the data locally on maybe their machine at home, but they can have a disk ordered and mailed to them with all that data as well. And so, you know, there's a lot of options out there. And I think really thinking about the data, there's a lot of thought that needs to go into this. It's kind of like a business contract or any other agreement. At the end of the day, you really want to take some time, some planning on the front end to think about this.
Yeah. So do what your business does and do it well. If you need some outsourcing like IT services or marketing help as Ad IT needed Bonnie's help, reach out and find those other businesses who can help you and grow your business. As we begin to wrap here, I'd like to ask you about Atlanta and how we're doing as a community and what originally brought you here and how do you see the business community growing and coming together? Start with you, Kelvin.
Sure. I moved to Atlanta actually for work. I was working for an IT consulting firm up in New York, and the owner there ended up relocating to Atlanta to raise his family. And initially, when I came down, I just was coming for the job. But as I've lived here, it's definitely grown on me.
Right.
And I feel that Atlanta is great to raise a family compared to New York. Not that I don't like New York. I don't think any native New Yorker would ever say that. I think I could give my family a little bit more here than I could up there. In the terms of business, it is fantastic to see all these businesses that are relocating down here, and the financial industry here, the even the tech industry that's growing up in the South in general, but especially in Atlanta. It is a fantastic setup. The infrastructure in the terms of technology is great. Yeah. I think public transportation, on the other hand, is a whole other issue.
We're working on that.
In Atlanta.
Yeah.
Is there a way to connect with other people in the technology world here in Atlanta? Do you have regular local groups or meetups that you kind of lean on for information?
Well, you know, I rely a lot on the businesses that I meet with. And I know that there's, I apologize, the name of the group slips in my mind right now, but there's a CIO group that meets together. Mm-hmm. And even, I think from a technology side, the other part of it, especially if you're a business, it's for businesses to really get together right. and talk about their
right. No matter what industry problems. You're in, you may experiencing some of the same challenges and can kind of come together and talk about those. And there's a segment we feature here regularly on Atlanta Business Radio, Women in Technology. We bring in WIT Atlanta and how they're developing young girls all the way from elementary age school kids to college educated women to get into the technology sector. So we know Atlanta is growing not only in the technology sense, but in business in general. And for you, Jerry, what about you in Atlanta?
Yeah, so I located to Atlanta from North Carolina, went to NC State, and it was 96. The Olympics were here, and I had a professor. I was working on wrapping up my master's degree in accounting. He said, hey, you need to go to Atlanta. It's a great place. You should go there. There's a lot of good things happening. Mm-hmm. And so I owe Mark Beasley a shout out to right. say it was a great decision, and it's really worked well. I mean, you know, I feel like in Atlanta, we're kind of isolated from some of the impacts that you might see across the country as far as, you know, just the availability of resources and different companies and different opportunities. I just feel it's really strong here. Yeah. And so it's just worked out great. And again, the number of businesses, the number of folks locating here that are technology related and otherwise is just phenomenal. Yeah. It continues to grow. It's a great place to work, great place to be. And as Bonnie would know today, an easy place to fly out of.
That's yes. right. Yeah, and I think that plays into a lot of why Atlanta's growing and successful is our international mm-hmm. airport.
That's right.
Our diverse community. We're a bunch of little kind of towns all connected in one major metropolitan area. And it did really begin to change in the 96 Olympics.
That's right.
I think the world opens its eyes to Atlanta's potential. And, you know, even though it might be 93 in September, we still love it here and looking forward to some cooler temps, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed.
And so let's remind our listeners before we get out how they can get in touch with you and your services.
Well, actually, I'm going to let Jerry kind of speak to the contact info.
Okay, yep. Yeah. So basically, you can go to our website, advisory.guru. It is a .guru extension. I know that's a new one for us.
You heard
there.
That right, folks. It's advisory.guru.
Yes. So basically, you can come to our website. We have a lot of information out there about the different services we provide, the custom SaaS development, the advisory and compliance services, and then the outsourced CIO or CTO services, as well as the IT project work. Also, you can reach us via email at jjones@advisory.guru. Those would be the best methods.
Yeah, we'll have those links posted up on our website later at atlantabusinessradio.com so you can connect with Jerry and the crew over there. And I imagine the website's kind of designed to educate people a little bit. Go there,
correct.
Find out some information too before you go down the road and calling them out to see if you need some help on site.
Yeah, one thing I find is, again, the what could go wrong is kind of the case studies, you know, the things that we do, as Bonnie was mentioning, kind of the forensic accounting. Where we have developed tools to kind of look at transactions and activity and reconcile those or look for fraud and things like that. So we, you know, those help because they usually when you're in a room with business folks, usually one or two of them can identify with those case, you know, as studies and stories and all the things that happen from a, you know, risk standpoint.
Yeah, and we hear that a lot here on the show as we interview business leaders and professionals all the time here on a daily basis in the studio. And these are some of the things they're faced with as they try to grow their business and acquire new business for sure. So thank you, Jerry Jones, Kelvin Moy, for joining us from Ad IT Solutions. Bonnie, thank you again for producing, helping put together another fantastic show. You're off on another adventure.
Just a long weekend in Los Angeles.
Okay, well, we'll be back again, I guess, in 2 weeks.
Yep.
for another show. In the meantime, you can find Bonnie BBR Marketing and her team out there, bbrmarketing.com.
That's
right?
It. And from Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Yep,
right.
We're everywhere.
We'll have the links up later. Again, AtlantaBusinessRadio.com. Thank you so much for joining us here on Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors. If your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We'll see you on the radio.